This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning. Happy New Year, Dr. Lou.
Well, Happy New Year. Good morning to you. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and the same with our audience who are listening. I mean, we didn't have good weather for it, but, you know, you can't have everything, number one. Number two, though, for Happy New Year, I mean, with Alabama winning, that's setting the stage for a good New Year.
Yes.
So I think we can all be thankful for that. But, you know, I did say in my message to Common Sense that this whole idea of Happy New Year, it's conditions-based. And there's, unless we have the proper conditions to take back this government and move them off of this radical left agenda, what's happy about what's going on? I mean, you know, it's a dilemma. And I've voiced this in my concern about saying, well, you know I need to go through the normal Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, but sometimes that spirit is just not there because everything is so screwed up and so dangerous that it's hard sometimes to, you know, not get caught up in woe is me.
Yes.
On the other hand, you know, we've always said, and I've made this point to all of our people for the last, especially during the Obama years, when Obama won that second election, it was an absolute shock. And it's like everyone just kind of went away. And it took a lot to try to keep people engaged because the issues were still there.
Took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah. I mean, with Trump's victory, that got everybody motivated. But to be honest, what really brought people out of the woodwork was the steal in 2020. And I think that, you know, as sort of a lead-in to what I wanted to talk about today, that's not a bad way to kind of set the table here. I think it's important for us to always have a retrospective view about what's going on. And so what I'd like to do this morning is take a look at local, state, and national issues that were particularly germane to a conservative watchdog news review approach to things, okay? So I'll do that, and then I'll also offer, you know, a prospective view on what's going on, especially, you know, in Alabama, we have a primary May 24th. I think our focus is going to be on that primary to make sure Jim Ziegler and Mo Brooks are successful, okay? I mean, that is one of the most important things that we can do as an organization, Common Sense Campaign, to make sure those things happen, because the real issue is, nationally, what happened to MAGA? Where are we going with MAGA? Are the liberals going to just, you know, destroy everything that Trump did, or will the Republicans be able to come back to power after the elections in November of 22. The working expectation, I think, the conventional wisdom is that they will take back the House. Maybe the Senate, we'll see how all that goes. But from our perspective, looking down the road now, we've got to put these kinds of issues into a framework by which we can prioritize and go to work based on that prioritization. So that's the game plan from Common Sense Campaign. In fact, our board meets this afternoon, and we will be talking about these issues and trying to get ourselves in the position to where we can do the most good in helping this country move forward, and our state and our local governments. So with that as sort of a, you know, lead-in, let's just take a look at our local issues. And you say, well, why worry about local issues? And the real answer is that local issues do in many respects drive how things are going to be done where we live. They have a direct effect on us. I mean, you don't have to look any further than what happened in Portland in 2020, summer of, and the mayor, the city council, all of them collapsed under the pressure of Antifa and BLM. Now, that's not going to happen down here, but nevertheless, there are things that happen at the local level that are nevertheless important and ongoing. And so let me just start with the first local issue that I think was major is the I-10 bridge project coming back on. I've mentioned this to you all before. The two MPOs, Eastern Shore and Mobile, have this kumbaya moment, and they have a framework. That framework looks like a $2.50 toll that was going to be sunsetted. The legacy routes are not going to be tolled. That means the Wallace Tunnel, the Causeway, and right now the Bayway. The Exit 35, which is important to Spanish Fort and to Daphne and to Fairhope, is going to be included. And to a certain degree, you know, the thing that's driving this is the lifespan of the Bayway. And, you know, I heard Jack Burrell this morning, again on another radio station, and he's the chair of the Eastern Shore MPO. And he emphasized that, you know, the question of the lifespan and the importance of the Bayway can be looked at very quickly. Look to the east, and you saw what happened in Pensacola when the I-10 bridge fell across, just was destroyed by the hurricane. Look to the west, and you see, you know, the New Orleans bridge across the Lake Pontchartrain in Slidell. Now, just think about this. What happens if the Bayway, whether it is due to hurricane or whatever force of nature that hits it, and we can't use it? I mean, look how long it took these other places to get running again. Think about the loss of money at the beaches. I mean, the beaches take care of about a third of the Alabama budget. So you cut that off, not only do you hurt Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, but you're also hurting the state. So my point here is that while we do have to worry about, you know, forces of nature destroying the causeway, I mean the Bayway, the fact is that the Bayway is not infinite. It has a finite lifespan, and it's either 10 to 20 years left. And once again, we get back to this question: you don't have to have a natural occurrence to destroy the Bayway. You look at what happened in the bridge up in Birmingham; started falling apart. It cost $800 million to get that thing fixed, and they had to do it quickly. So the argument here is that, you know, do we need the project? And should it be tolled? And the short answer is, yes, we need the project. And in my argument is, yes, we need a toll, because there has to be some way that the whole project can be paid for. And tolling is one part of that equation. How much money the government, the state is going to put in, according to what we see, $250 million. You know, there's a $125 million grant from the government already, from the feds. So whether or not that's enough, we'll see. The other aspect of this whole business, though, goes right back to, you know, what are Governor Ivey's real intentions here? I mean, she told us back in October of 2019, tell me what you want with this bridge. Well, we haven't heard from her. She hasn't offered anything. We've told her essentially what the Eastern Shore MPO and Mobile have told ALDOT, which is really Ivy. This is what we want. Have you heard from her? No. Should we hear from her? Yes. Will we hear from her? Let's put it this way. If she somehow skates through and does not have a runoff to deal with after May 24th, the real question, and it's been raised by Kevin Spriggs and others, will Ivy actually buy into what the MPOs are doing? Or will she just play nice until May 24th, and on the 25th of May, she says, well, I'm going to get reelected, and I really don't care anything about this project. End of story. Well, there you are. So the I-10 project, I think, does have a great deal of need. It should be taken care of, and we'll just have to see what happens with it. Here's another local story that really I think is critical, okay? We're back to questions about what's going on with the Baldwin County Board of Education. Now, you all know that Common Sense and others really went after Dr. Lee after he left here in 2015 when the Board of Education tried to impose a $350 million property tax increase to take care of getting new schools built, among other things. Our argument then was Dr. Lee had wasted $35 to $50 million on the digital renaissance, giving a $1,000 computer to every child in the system. It broke the bank, okay? And it was not supposed to be used for that. The penny tax money was supposed to be used to save the teachers because of the recession and to use money to get the construction needed because they hadn't had a new school since 2009. So here again, our argument with the BCBE right now is really threefold. Number one, we were going after them on the masking issues, and we were able to get them to back off of that after we were able to rent some airplanes that carried signs saying no masking. The day after that, Eddie Tyler took the mask away. There's an issue now, though. They're coming back to school tomorrow, and supposedly he's going to offer his evaluation of whether or not they need to bring the mask back again. Let's just be clear, folks. The mask issue is absurd. The studies that we've quoted to them and given them data on from Deke Cox, Deke has been the leader in terms of trying to move the ball on this. And he has successfully shown that whether it's in Norway, whether it's in Ireland, in North Carolina, where major studies were done, and schools that were not using masks did better in terms of coronavirus than the ones that were masked. So where's the science, okay? So our argument is that it's a parent's choice, and we think that that should be the standard. Well, we'll see what they're going to do now, because now, once again, we're back to this coronavirus fear. They gin this up because the Omicron virus is infectious. So they keep saying, oh, the cases are way high. Who cares about how many cases? It's how many people are dying like they were in 2020 when the thing started. That's what drove everyone, okay? 10,000 dead in New York's, you know, old folks' homes. I'm sorry. I mean, that leads you to a question about why are they doing this. I'll address that when I talk about this going forward, okay? But anyway, that's an issue for us. Here's another issue. The question of vaccinations. Again, Deke Cox has taken the lead on this with us, and, you know, we've laid it out to them. They are advocating for vaccinations for everyone, including the children. Our argument basically is that it's the choice of the individual, number one, and number two, it makes no sense to vaccinate these children because they are the least likely to get the virus. And if they do get it, the statistics are absolutely incredibly good that you are not going to die from it, you know? So what's the point? The point is it's an individual choice. And parents have the choice to look at these vaccinations, particularly from the child's standpoint, because there's more and more information that's coming out that these vaccines are harmful to children, okay? As well as for pregnant women and other groups and people like that. So here again, we think it's our responsibility to keep hammering on this, and we will. Here's another issue that we've had with the Board of Education over this past year. It's the absolutely incredible. I'm trying to frame this in a way that you can understand my frustration with it. How in the world does Baldwin County have 33 schools that have a math percentage proficiency rate of 40 or below? Okay? Lori's eyes are getting
that.
Big.
You mentioned that in
yes,
a previous show.
Yeah.
Are these figures from a respected institute or group that reports on school success?
These are the results of the ACAP test that Alabama did in March, okay?
An accepted industry standard for education.
Right. This is a new test, all right? The State Board of Education has gone through, I think, three or four different tests that they've given. Okay, this is the latest one. Okay, so to a certain degree, you have to factor in problems with COVID because some of these people who are tested didn't have, in classroom education last year. Okay, I get that, but I also do not understand how it is that Baldwin County was not out of school; they were in school, and yes, there were issues. I got that, but how do you have 33 schools with a math proficiency of 40 below? How do you have 7 schools in the teens? Now, this is an issue that we've brought up to them, and it's linked to this whole idea of the next issue, which is how much money they're spending for the Votech technology building, okay? And it's a great building. It's a Taj Mahal. But it went from $10 million to start with, and now it's up to 70.
Whoa.
Yes, whoa. That's what I've said to the board. You know, the last two times I've been up there.
What answers are you receiving?
The only answer they give you is that it's necessary to have the tech building the way they've designed it because it's so important. No one's denying that the tech building is necessary. That's not the issue. The real question is, what is the scale of, you know, involvement in terms of financial contributions you're going to make this happen? And what I'm saying to them, and now think about this, Lori, you've got 33 schools with math proficiency at 40 or below. You've got 7 that are in the teens. What in the world are we doing spending $70 million on a building when you could have gotten it down to 20, 25 million and still made the building good, okay? And dedicated some of that money to coming up with programs that get these math problems under control.
You know, the school system has different piles of money. Construction is completely different than administration, programs,
et cetera. But you see, this is where the task force that came out in 2015 talked about having a pay-as-you-go program for building construction. That has worked very well.
Right.
They've been able to do that, okay? So the question now, though, is, you know, are we still in a building crisis? One can make the case that they are making significant progress in dealing with the building issue. But
that is also funded, is it not, through local community colleges as well as the school system, this Votech? It's a joint partnership,
Well, they keep saying that they've got partners, but my understanding is there's not too many partner money showing up, not too much partner money. Yeah, but once again, you know, the source of the money is the people here, our tax dollars. Okay, so while on the one hand, we need to make sure that we have adequate construction for overcrowded, you know, areas. I get that. And we advocated for it. In fact, it was Cody Phillips who came up with the idea of the, you know, pay-as-you-go program. But at some point, you know, you have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And there's no reason for the proficiency levels to be as low as they are. And so the real way to attack that is to add more teachers, Do what you have to do to identify the children who need extra help. Give them that extra help. And there are different, I mean, there are lots of people who have experience with these kinds of issues. I mean, it isn't as though we're, you know, reinventing the wheel here. People know how to do this. So my point to them is, let's start doing it, okay? So there we are with two local issues that I think are critical. How about some state issues? Well, I mean, state issues here for me really go to the heart of some of these issues that we've been talking about, okay? Our big state issue for the last 10 years has been getting rid of Common Core. It explains a lot of the educational problems, why we are 52nd in the national achievement, you know, tests. 52nd in math, 48th in English, okay? So why do we still have it? That is a question that we keep asking. we were unable to get HB 440 passed last year, which would have been a replacement bill that was a good bill. And once again, Representative Terry Collins, who's the chair of the Education Committee, says no. She did have a hearing this past year, okay? She caved in on a hearing. Big deal, okay? So as we were closed out on that approach, we started to look into the possibility of using the State Board of Education to mandate a replacement of Common Core. And we now have four votes on, as I've told you all before, we've been working all year long on this to get the governor to be the fifth vote to replace Common Core. We'll see how that goes. But there's a big issue there, okay? I would also suggest that this question about the fight against the vaccine mandates, which we saw develop in the special session, our bill, HB 3331, which was really drafted by the health freedom folks, Stephanie Dernan, who's been on the show, okay? Stephanie has been one of the leaders in this. And the argument that we're making is that the state does not have the right to force people to take the jab. Look, you're going through the same problem at the federal level. Right now, that issue is going to go to the Supreme Court, okay? Hopefully, you know, these justices will see the merit of supporting citizens' right to do what they want with their body when it comes to medical things. I mean, that's been the doctrine about abortion, okay? So are we just going to throw that all away? But our point here is that if the business people who run their businesses have rights, which they do, do those rights include discriminating against people on the basis of race, religion, gender? The obvious answer is no. So why should they be able to discriminate on the basis of vaccine status? Okay? And I would, again, the corollary to this argument, though, is also in the emphasis on the vaccine as the only solution to the damn problem. Okay? How about some therapies? Duh. I mean, Florida is way ahead of everybody in this. And again, I mentioned here, and we've talked about this before, you have Dr. Calderwood and other doctors who are part of this Concerned Doctors group. They were on the national stage, and you know, they all of them in their coats on the steps. That's their argument. Why don't we try to take care of the sick rather than forcing this jab, which has created problems? Well, that's one of the things that we're fighting, and we are going to continue to fight that, okay? The prison issue was another big issue last year. And as Jim Ziegler has pointed out to us, Governor Ivey had a failed program. She was going to rent, you know, from private, you know, sources, rent out the jails. And in 30 years, we'd have to repeat the whole process. It had never been us. That got shot down.
Thank goodness.
And Jim Ziegler was one of the main reasons, you know, that it did get shot down. So here then you have state issues that are still out there. And I'm just going to say, so I'm kind of running out of time. And of course, we're going to start the new year with a little extra time. I'm sure Lori will be happy to do that. All right. But the point here is that You know, these state issues that I've just listed are the same issues that we're going to be dealing with this year. Okay? Let's talk about national issues. Well, I mean, do I have to just say anything else other than how about domestic issues such as the border? I mean, now think with me for a second. You can't come to this country without having, you know, either a test 3 days before you come to the country or proof of vaccination. But if you're walking across the southern border, you just have to walk. It makes no difference, okay? They're welcome to come, whether they're criminals, whether they're terrorists, whether they have a past history of all sorts of, you know, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, all of it. They're coming across the border close to 2 million. And you ask why? And the simple answer is because Biden and the Democrats, excuse me, God, it's Monday. So Biden and the Democrats want to fundamentally change America. We know that. And how do they change it? They bring third world people into the country, brown people mostly, some black, to change the color of the country too. So the border issue continues to just flare up every day. And it's an issue that is not going to go away. And I would argue it can't go away until it's fixed, okay?
You're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi here on WABF.
Thank you for the water, Lori. Very good. All right, so how about questions about, you know, their agenda? H.R. 1, a federal takeover of elections. Well, we said no to that, and I think so far the Senate has, you know, stopped it. Thank goodness. How about Build Back Better? Here again, a fundamental transformation of America, which thankfully at this point, and I say this, you know, with trepidation, at this point, Joe Manchin, especially, perhaps Sinema, perhaps a couple of other Democrats, are not going to go along with Biden. Okay, right now that's the case. What's his name? Manchin said no. Okay, good. But Build Back Better, these are the kinds of issues that the radical left wants in place. They want to do it now before they lose control, you know, in 2022. So I would argue that we have been able to work with, you know, lots of different people trying to make sure that our voices are heard in opposition to this radical left agenda. And we have to continue to do that. In foreign policy, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, in my view, is the Afghanistan debacle. How in the world did this happen except by design? Except by design, folks. And I mean, I'm not going to rehash what I've said when all this happened, okay? But the point is that not only was that a debacle that has had major impacts in terms of what's going on in Afghanistan, not just the human rights part of it, which is a major issue, but the fact that now you have a terrorist state once again, and that presents major threats to our ability to deal with terror threats once again. I mean, just think what happened when Obama pulled out of Iraq and let ISIS essentially become a major player. They created their caliphate. They sent terrorists to Europe. They sent terrorists to this country. It was a disaster. And another disaster is going to be on the horizon unless we sort this out. And I say sorting it out because the bad guys are going to be bad guys. And we can't just let them sit there in Afghanistan being bad. We need to just eliminate them. But the spillover towards to Afghanistan takes us into another realm, though. And this is where it's very, very dangerous, because the Chinese and the Ruskies are looking at Biden's weakness, inability to pull something like this off in a way that not only supported our Afghan allies, but kept a lid on what was going on with the development of terrorism. No, they see weakness. So Russia's looking at Ukraine. Why shouldn't he be tempted, which is a danger? You know, you're tempting him into doing something which could have serious adverse consequences if a major war breaks out over at Ukraine. What about China? You don't think the Chinese are looking at what the hell happened in Afghanistan and saying, they walked out on their allies, and maybe they'll do the same thing in Taiwan. And if you've noticed what's been going on for the last 6 months, the Chinese have just completely, you know, gone nuts trying to penetrate the Taiwanese airspace, you know, building up their own troops on, you know, their border, the eastern border, right on the Pacific. I'm just telling you, what happened in Afghanistan is exactly the kinds of it's going to send signals to the bad guys, not only the terrorist bad guys, but to our adversaries, whether it's the Iranians, the Chinese, or the Ruskies. That's not a good outcome, in my view. So, you know, in my closing period here, let me just say, from a local standpoint, we have got to get engaged to make sure we've got good candidates ready for the May 24th primary. At the state level, we've got to continue to press on those issues that I've mentioned, okay? This issue of the vax mandate, issues pertaining to preventing children under 19 from getting transgender drugs, okay? I mean, that's just unbelievable, okay? We want to make sure that we stop the gaming bill that's already been pre-filed. We need to make sure that the constitutional carry bill that Shane Stringer over there in Mobile has sponsored gets passed. These are the kinds of things at the state level we need to do. Clearly, at the national level, the most important thing that we can do is to elect Mo Brooks our senator. He is a MAGA guy, and he will fight for MAGA and do everything to make sure that the radical left is stopped in its tracks. So, okay, 3 minutes over.
And as you are speaking of the Common Sense Campaign.
Common Sense Campaign.
Of which people can go online to.
To commonsensecampaign.org.
Commonsensecampaign.org.
Just look and see what's going on. Stay engaged. Now, let me just give you this little, you know, heads up, and I'll talk about it next week on when we're here. But on the 13th, Common Sense Campaign, in conjunction with Health Freedom, is having a major rally, 12:30 on the 13th. It's a Thursday at the State House of Health
in Montgomery.
In Montgomery, okay. So we'll have more information on that. The flyers will be out. We're definitely trying to make sure that the State House, you know, here's our message. We've got a bus already lined up. I'll make sure that everybody, you go to our Common Sense Campaign or the Facebook, you'll find out information on how to sign up for that. But this is critical. And, you know, the criticality of it is, you know, launching a campaign to get those issues taken care of that I've mentioned, as well as making sure that Jim Ziegler is helped in his efforts to become the governor. He is the grassroots MAGA candidate, as well as, you know, getting, you know, Mo Brooks elected as the MAGA Senate candidate. So there you have it, folks. Good to be back in the saddle.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Dr. Lou.
Good to see you, Lori, and glad to hear that your fiance is doing better.
Thank you so much.
For everyone out there, y'all have a great week. Happy New Year. And we're going to make it a happy year because we are going to kick some ass. Okay.
All right. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, including the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of the program or want to tell a friend, you can listen later. Our programs are posted at WABF1480.com.